This is Tatooine Sons, a proud member of the Star Wars Commonwealth Podcast Network. Be sure to listen to the galaxy's greatest Star Wars podcasts, including Talk Star Wars, Tumbling Sabers Podcast, Generation X-Wing, Rogue Squadron Podcast, Skyhoppers Podcast, The Nerd Room, San Diego Sabers Radio Podcast, and Less Than 12 Parsecs Podcast. Visit StarWarsCommonwealth.com and take your first step into a larger world.
If you live long enough, you see the same eyes in different people.
The Force is strong in my family.
I am your father.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Impressive. Most impressive.
All right, well, welcome to another special episode of Tatooine Sons, one of our ten questions on Tatooine Tuesday episodes. We've done a few of these in the past and had a lot of fun interviewing some of our listeners and some of our Patreon supporters, getting their thoughts on some different Star Wars questions. And today I am really excited to have Dominic Jones from the Star Wars Underworld on the show. How are you doing, Dominic?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, this is going to be really exciting. For those of you that listen to Tatooine Sons, you probably know the story about Dominic from our perspective, and how Dominic was the catalyst is probably the right word, not necessarily the inspiration, but the catalyst for us talking about doing this thing we call Tatooine Sons. And Dominic and Chris and Ben were so gracious to have us on Star Wars Underworld a couple of weeks ago.
That was a lot of fun. That was a really fun episode.
Yeah, it was a blast. I think it even went longer than we thought it was.
Because
when you're trying to get six people to speak into stuff, it'll go a little bit longer. It was a lot of fun, though, especially because it was fun for us. We were talking about this afterwards, Dominic. Mm. Sam and I were talking about how it was really cool to hear you guys talk about the Clone Wars the way that you did, because we came into the Clone Wars after it was already canceled, and we were watching it on Netflix later, but you guys were a part of the Clone Wars stuff when it was actually on Cartoon Network and experiencing that. That was a big part of your fandom. So it was really fun to hear your guys' perspective on that.
Oh wow. I'm glad to hear that. Cause we lived the Clone Wars, so to speak. I remember really around end of season two was when I really sort of dove in headfirst. I'd kind of been, dipping my toe into the waters of Clone Wars after the movie through that first season, and kind of midway through season two, I sort of got really into it, and from about the Mandalore trilogy on, I was like really into it. But I had sort of the problem, quote unquote, of being in Canada, and the air dates didn't always line up. And I remember the night the first episode of the Boba Fett arc was supposed to air, I was so excited, I was ready, I was sitting there, and on Teletoon, the Canadian equivalent of Cartoon Network, instead of playing that, they played some episode from season one, and I was so disappointed.
Oh no!
I was like, no, it can't go online. I can't see the spoilers. I don't want to know what happened. But yeah, it was a fun time, and we kind of got caught up in looking back on it there on that episode.
That's awesome. So we'll talk a little bit more about Clone Wars here when we get into some of these questions. Have you had a chance to look over the questions, or are you just going basically, cold turkey right now with no idea what we're getting ready to ask?
I had a look over the question, so I did a little bit of prep. It's not quite cold turkey, but I also, you know, I don't have my answers written out or anything. I can't.
I had one person do this. You could tell they had like pages worth of notes for questions. I'm like, this is going to be a really interesting episode here. So
you'd hear the page turn every now and again.
What's that?
You'd hear like the page turn every now and again. Just
exactly. Well, often when I'm doing these episodes, I sit here and I drink my cool soft a beverage here, and you can hear the glass rattle on here. So we pretty much go unfiltered and unedited for the most part on ours. Otherwise, we would never get these shows out. So all right. So let's start in. I think we may have even talked a little bit about this. Well, before we get into the questions, tell us, for the listeners, not that I think we have any listeners that don't know who the Star Wars Underworld is, but tell my Tatooine Sons listeners a little bit about you and about the Star Wars Underworld and how long you've been doing this and sort of that whole story.
Sure. So Star Wars Underworld started back in 2010, and it started just as like a Facebook page that Ben Hart, who's one of the co-hosts on the podcast with me, he just sort of was like sitting at home one day going, I'm bored, I want to talk about Star Wars, and he just created a Facebook page. And it's funny, every now and again people will call us the Star Wars Underground. Ben, that was apparently the original name, but there was another Facebook page with like 18 likes that already had it. Ben's like, I can't piss off those 18 people, I gotta come up with something else.
And that page has long since disappeared, I'm sure.
I'm sure it has. And so he started up and it just kind of got going, and he eventually brought in Chris and a few other people on to help him run the page and come up with content, and they would just sort of post pictures and videos and links to stuff, and it was just kind of a fun sort of Star Wars mishmash collage of stuff. And then for the 1 year anniversary, I think Chris had the idea to come up to make a website, and so they brought in somebody to help set up that. And when they launched the website, they're like, hey, let's get some writer. Anybody want to do some writing for us? And I was sort of sitting at home going, like, I want to get more involved in Star Wars. And I saw that and I'm like, I could do that. I could try my hand at that. And there, so I go. Sort of emailed them, and I didn't really know, like, you know, how professional it was or not at all. And I think I think I sent them my resume.
Gosh, that's awesome. Might be the best. After having been on an episode with all three of you guys, I can't imagine how awesome that was for Ben and Chris to get that resume. So
yeah, I was in like grade 10 or something. So yeah, I had like my resume consisted of like baseball umpire and things like that. Not the kind of stuff you would expect for a Star Wars website. And so I started writing, and eventually some of the other people fell off, and it kind of became sort of the core, became Chris, Ben, and I, and they started the podcast right when I was just getting started writing, and eventually they sort of invited me to become a part of that. And really since like mid 2013, the podcast has been up and running with Chris, Ben, and myself, and we've been having a lot of fun. We've done a lot of episodes, more than I can count. It's been a blast.
That's awesome. So now, what do you do when you're not doing Star Wars stuff? I mean, what's your, like, your do you have a day job, or are you just a full-time Star Wars superhero?
I wish I could be a full-time Star Wars superhero. That would be the best. No, I've got just a day job. I'm still relatively recent graduate, and so I'm kind of getting trying to figure out what I really want to do with my life. And so I've got a day job. It's nothing too exciting, but it is sort of a brings in some cash, and it's also not too hectic a pace that I can't write up a Star Wars article every now and then from my desk at work. So it's I wish I could be full-time Star Wars superhero, but alas,
not yet.
Not so much.
All right, so now we were talking, Sam and Nathan and I were talking about this after we were with you on Star Wars Underworld, because we had talked about how when you were at Celebration in 2017, it was finals week for your final year of school, right? Your final year of university, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
All right. But we never found out what your degree is in. So it's been bugging us.
So. my degree is actually in film studies.
That's so awesome. That's what you're good at, too. Yeah. So that's cool.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I think I wrote 3 papers on Star Wars over the course of my time there. I remember sort of like, as soon as you get into a film class, like I wanted to write a Star Wars paper, but like I can't use my best shot on, you know, the first essay in first year. And so I waited until there was a really good sort of opportunity. It was to the final paper for a popular cinema class. So that seemed like the perfect place to write it. And then I wrote that one. I wrote another one when I did a gender studies in film class.
Interesting.
Yeah, and it was right after The Force Awakens came out too. Okay. So I was writing that, and I sort of submitted my proposal for it, and you know, there was some stuff about Leia, some stuff about Padme, and there's some stuff about Rey. And I remember talking to the TA, and she was saying like, you know, look, I love Star Wars too, but you know, Rey is and Force Awakens, it's so recent, like you have to have like, you know, concrete evidence. You can't just be vague memories of the time you saw Force Awakens. I'm like, I'm not bragging at all. I'm kind of ashamed of this, but I've seen the movie 13 times. So I think I got it.
Yeah, I've seen it more than once. It's going to be okay, Teach.
I think I'm going to be okay. And so I wrote up that's that awesome. One. And then the third one, it wasn't so much a Star Wars paper, but I wrote a paper on like 3D cinema, and I used Star Tours, the Disneyland attraction. As an example. So that was a fun one too.
So have you been on the new Star Tours, the updated versions after Force Awakens?
Yes.
And all that?
Yes. I've been on several times, and last time I was in the LA area, I specifically went because the only planet I was missing was Jakku. And they were doing the Jakku and Crate, like that was all you could go to. So I'm like, I have to go.
So you were guaranteed. You write it twice, you'll probably get on.
Yeah, it was sort of like, if I go, then I'll have hit them all and I'll be good. So I went, and I think I got every variation on Crate.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I've now got Jakku. So I think I'm sure there's some like small things that I've missed, but I've gotten most of them, I think, at this point. It's a great ride.
Was that you were out here for The Last Jedi?
It was after that premiere where we tried to get in and didn't. We then went down to Anaheim for Star Wars night at the Ducks game, which is the NHL team. Cool. And I sort of like, Chris had to go back to LA, and I'm like, I'm just gonna stay an extra day and go. go do Disneyland and get the last ticks on my Star Tours scorecard, for lack of a better term.
That's fun. Now, a funny story about that, because we were watching the red carpet premiere on the stream that was on StarWars.com and all that stuff. We were sitting in here, and this is like 2 weeks after we started our podcast. We started our first episode was December 1st. So we're like, I think the 10th was the premiere. So we had done like 2 episodes maybe of ours. And we were like live tweeting. I was trying to figure out this Twitter thing because I had no idea what I was doing with it. And I'm tweeting a bunch of stuff.
I still have no idea what I'm doing on Twitter.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, Twitter's, you know, can be a dumpster fire most of the time, but it's a lot of fun sometimes too. Mm-hmm. So I was sitting in here and I'm tweeting, and all of a sudden I hear Sam go, "Hey, that's the dude that told me he wanted me on the podcast." I was like, "You're kidding me, right?" So that was fun. He didn't say anything bad about you. He actually thought, you know, it was pretty cool to see you on there. He recognized you. So
yeah, that was fun. We had kind of been waiting around all day hoping to get into the Last Jedi premiere, or like hoping to like see a celebrity or something. We've been tweeting at Rian Johnson and Mark Hamill trying to get their attention. We didn't get any of that. And then when the live stream started, people started, all the sort of autograph hounds and just general Star Wars fans that were waiting around started sort of going away, scattering. And then all of a sudden we thought, somebody said, oh, they're accepting videos on the live feed because somebody was watching it on their phone, okay. Like just over there. I'm like, all right, everybody in, we got to come up with something real quick. And I sent it and I thought, there's no way in a million years they'll play that because they probably don't want to encourage the riffraff like us to right. start hanging out outside their premieres. And then 10 minutes later, somebody comes and taps me on the shoulder and they're like, hey, you were just on the live stream. I'm like, that's so no cool. way. And I go on Twitter and it's just all these people saying, hey, did you were on the live stream. I'm like, I was, I gotta see this. And
yeah
it was a lot of fun. So I'm glad that's funny that that Sam saw that
he did. It was awesome. And here's the thing though, we don't have to worry about that for episode 9 because you guys are going to be able to go to the red carpet premiere, we're going to be able to go to the red carpet premiere, and it'll be, we won't be camping out outside of an undisclosed location trying to figure out where the red carpet is at that point.
So. yes positive thoughts, happy beeps,
there we go. Right, because you know, I mean, Nathan, he's really close with Ryan Johnson over this Turbis thing. Mm. So he isn't, not really. Anyway, all right, let's get into some questions. I think we talked about this on your on the episode that we were on. You asked us, and I think we may have gotten a little bit of your answer from this, but I want to hear the whole story. What's your first like entry into Star Wars, your first Star Wars memory, maybe?
Yeah, so my first Star Wars memory, it would have been about 2003. And I was just like hanging out with my brother and my dad at home one day. I remember this day very specifically because it was my my sort of little league hockey teams. We were in the finals of the for the season.
Oh, wow.
And so I was like trying to get myself in the zone, getting ready, getting all pumped up for the game. And I'm just hanging out with my dad and my brother, and my dad's sort of flicking through the TV channels, and he comes across this movie. He's like, hey, this is Star Wars. This is a great movie. I haven't seen this in years. And I'm sort of like, yeah, whatever. What is this old movie that you're going to make me watch? and it was actually my brother who kind of got into it. And he was like, yeah, we didn't get to finish watching it that day. And my brother's like, yeah, we should rent it and actually like watch the whole thing. And so we did that, and like whole family sort of gathered there. We're supposed to be like, we're all going to watch this together. And I'm like, nah, I'd rather watch the hockey game. I'd rather watch the Leafs play the Philadelphia Flyers of all teams. And so I went upstairs to the other TV while everybody else was watching Star Wars. And after the end of the first period, I sort of go downstairs like, let's see a little bit of this space movie that they're all watching. And I got hooked like that, and I did not go back to the hockey game that night.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I don't know if they won.
So Star Wars is about family for you too. You got your whole family involved in this.
Yeah. So. Oh yeah, for sure. Some of my favorite sort of Star Wars memories revolve around family, and you know, now I'm sort of the Star Wars guy in the family. Like most people have sort of scattered from it. My brother,
everybody else grew up.
Yeah, kind of.
I'm the same way.
So. And but you know, just little things like I somehow convinced my family to go make part of our summer vacation in 2010, a trip to Star Wars Celebration 5 in Florida.
Wow. And that's cool.
You know, like I remember like sort of being like actually like really worried of like, because I had never been to a convention before, never been to anything like that. I'm like, what if it sucks and I just made everybody come to this thing? And we all wound up having a great time, and one sort of very specific memory was we decided we wanted to see the special George Lucas Q&A that took place, and he was being interviewed on stage by Jon Stewart from The Daily Show. I was like, this is gonna be great. Wow. And we went to line up for it at like 5 a.m. and people had been there all night. They had been waiting all night. And we were sort of like in this line kind of going, I don't know if we're going to get in. It was me, my brother, and my mom. And my mom's sort of like bracing us for like, you know, we might get into like the satellite room and watch the live feed of it. You know, probably won't get into the big room. Everybody else has been lined up all night. We wound up being the last people to get into the main room.
Oh, wow.
And my mom, who has not seen all the Star Wars movies, the joy on her face at getting this wristband was quite shocking. I've never quite seen anything like it, but it was really a really cool sort of family moment for the three of us
there. Oh, wow. That's like one of my favorite stories I've heard about Celebration. It's funny because when we went in 2017, that was our first one too, and I like was – over the top with downplaying expectations, not knowing what we were going to. Right. Thinking, you know, when we bought the tickets, kind of the same thing you were thinking about the vacation. I bought the tickets and I told Sam and Nathan that we were going, and we were all like super excited. And then I thought the same thing. What if this thing sucks?
Yeah.
And we don't get to get into anything. And so I started like immediately for the next four months downplaying expectations. And then, you know, we had a great first day. We didn't get into any of the main stage stuff with the 40th anniversary, but we were in the overflow in the theater and it was fun. And I like made the decision that, and I had no clue people had been camping out all night or that that was even a possibility. I made the decision I was going to do everything in my power to get us into the main stage for the Last Jedi panel, because I wanted us to be able to be in there for the trailer and all that kind of thing. And so our hotel was like 2 miles away and we were walking everywhere. And I told Sam and Nate, I said, I set my alarm for midnight thinking that was going to be like awesome. Right. Yeah. So I set my alarm for midnight and I told them, you know, I will text you, or they set their alarms for 5. I said, text me when you leave. And I'll, you know, you guys can walk down here. I'm like, please don't. Oh, I'm so glad my wife doesn't listen to this podcast, because if she heard this story right now, I'd probably have some serious, problems on my hand. So I get down there. It's, you know, it takes me, 30, 45 minutes to walk to the thing. I get there and there's nobody outside. And I'm like, this is it. I am the very first person in line. And I get a chair and I slide it up to the door, basically. Mm. And then all of a sudden, like within 30 minutes, people start lining up behind me. And this line's, you know, it's wrapping around the convention center and everything. And then a security guard comes up and he's like, do you guys know that there's a bunch of people sleeping on the floor in here? Mm. And I was like, I was so disappointed. Oh. I was so let down.
Yeah.
But just to calm everybody down, I didn't make my kids walk for 2 miles in the middle of the night in a strange city. The people in line with me found out. I told them what I was doing. They were like, you know, at 5 o'clock, go back to the hotel, walk them back this way. We'll keep your spot at the front.
Nice.
And they were awesome. We had a great time. In fact, we actually were on a podcast. Now that I'm thinking about it, somebody was going through the line interviewing people on a podcast.
Very.
So maybe we shouldn't give you credit for this. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe it's somebody else's fault.
So the long end of the story is we did not get into the main stage. They had already filled more than enough seats in the people sleeping. So there were people sleeping all night on the floor.
That would be me. That would be
nice.
Sleeping on the floor. Although we did get in. Sorry, we did get in. We were sleeping on the floor. That was tough doing that two nights in a row. It was quite something.
So you did get into the main stage though.
Yeah, we did get into the main stage.
There was like 100 people that were sleeping overnight that didn't.
I heard about this. Yeah, this was Star Wars Celebration, the Orlando, this most recent one. It has a lot of high points, but it also had a lot of low points, and chief among those were the rooms where they were doing the panels were not big enough for the amount of people that wanted to be there. They were big enough in 2010 when attendance was, you know, 25,000. They're not big enough in 2017 when attendance is what, 70,000.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of, that was a bit of a problem. So yeah, we were in line overnight. We were we're sitting for the 40th anniversary. We sat in the very back row. For the Last Jedi panel, we sat in the second last row.
Wow. But you got in.
But we got in, and it was a lot of fun. You mentioned like that first day, you didn't get into anything, and you're just kind of like walking the floor and you're having a good time. That was what really struck me about Celebration. Is like, I sort of thought, okay, well, for the first time I went, I'm like, I got all these panels I want to go to, and I'm just going to go and see all of those and see all the talks. You know, I wasn't at the time a huge collector or anything. I just want to go and see the people who made Star Wars. And then I sort of realized, oh no, the convention floor is really cool too. And I wanted to spend as much time there. And now I've sort of just found a better balance at doing that. And so, yeah, just being able to go and walk around, you know, it's so funny to think now that we were worried it would suck when hey, it turned out pretty great.
Yeah. And I'm excited about Chicago. I know that's going to be a blast.
Yeah. So. And apparently the rooms for the big panels, they are the largest they've ever had at Celebration.
Heard this. That's exciting.
That's very
maybe
good.
We don't have to sleep overnight. I don't know. We'll probably sleep overnight anyway.
Yeah. So. Well, right. It is a real, a really fun experience, especially the first time you do it.
Yeah.
Like that, when we did that for The Force Awakens, we had a great, great time doing that overnight. Like we did that at Celebration. We then did it at D23 and San Diego Comic-Con as well. And but those three sort of overnight lines are sort of like the pinnacle of great overnight lines. And then with Rogue One, we did one, I think, at Celebration Europe. And, you know, by the time we hit Last Jedi and we had two back to back, it was kind of like, it's kind of like, all right, guys, maybe just one of these a con. But they are real. They are really fun, especially that first night when everybody's still fresh and excited and ready to go.
Great kid. Don't get cocky.
Sorry about interrupting.
Oh, cool.
Okay, so there, that little interruption that we had right there was a little bit of a recording issue, but since Dominic is an old pro at this podcasting thing, he's got my back, and he's going to be able to help me fix that problem. So we'll jump right back in here. Why don't we go ahead and just go to the next question, since we've exhausted Celebration, I think, sure, as much as we can, and talking about that. What's your favorite of all of, and I guess we've got extra movies since I started doing this podcast. We have two new movies since we started this, Last Jedi and Solo. What's your favorite total of all of them, your favorite Star Wars movie?
I always feel like such a cop-out with this when I have to answer a question like this, because the answer is either, and I can't remember who coined this phrase, but I think it was somebody online did. They said, you know, my favorite Star Wars movie is whichever one I'm watching. And I tend to fall into that category. And so as sort of a way out of it, I always say it's A New Hope. It's the original, because that's the one that started it all. Without that one, there wouldn't be all the other ones. And that's the one that introduces you to Star Wars. It introduces you to the main characters. It introduces you to all the concepts. And it's, for my money, as close to a perfect movie as exists.
Wow. That's pretty awesome. Now, so is that the first one? Like, if it's just random time to put on a Star Wars movie, is that the first one you're going to try to, you're going to grab, or does it change?
It changes basically. It's sort of, for me, it's like, I'll be like thinking about something in one of the movies, and then I'll think, oh, I just want to watch that movie. So I was thinking about some stuff in Last Jedi recently. And then, I just decided the other day, all right, we're just going to pop in the Blu-ray, watch Last Jedi and relive this one. And then, but, you know, same thing will happen. I'll be thinking about a scene in Attack of the Clones really hard, and I'll be like, all right, let's put on Attack of the Clones, just watch it. Or same thing with any of them. So, yeah, it's really, for me, it's just kind of spur of the moment, whichever one strikes my fancy in the moment, I think.
That's awesome. Now, do you ever do the whole try to do a marathon type situation, or is that something that you've kind of moved past because there's so many movies now?
The last sort of like marathon thing I did was I wanted to watch Force Awakens and Last Jedi back to back.
Okay.
Because I really, there's so much discussion and debate, and this was it was probably because we'd had that debate on Star Wars Underworld a couple of weeks earlier, of like, how well do these movies play into each other? Do they pick up on the same themes and ideas, and do they play really well one into the other? And so I wanted to kind of test that, at least for myself, and see, because I had thought that they do. I think you know, the idea that Last Jedi undoes anything in Force Awakens is laughable, and the idea that anything in Episode 9 will undo Last Jedi is also laughable. And it really, there were a couple of moments that really kind of struck me as like Ryan and Ryan's work and JJ's work build a really strong bridge together. And the one that really hit me when I did that back-to-back watch is Kylo saying the line, "I know what I have to do," because I'd never made that connection that he says it in both movies.
Han Solo, and then with in the throne room.
Yeah exactly.
Okay.
And so I was sort of thinking, like, what's the, you know, it just sort of shows how, you know, how much he's changed and where his head's at and how it works. And you can draw a really sort of interesting line between the two moments. I thought it was, and just sort of where his headspace is. Like, the first time he's conflicted. He doesn't know what to do. And the second time it's very committed. He knows what he's all about, what he wants to do in that moment. And, I think the two play really, really well together. Even if there's a few like little stylistic things, like obviously Luke throwing the lightsaber over his shoulder doesn't quite line up with the way that final moment in Force Awakens.
Yeah, I don't think that was on J.J. Abrams' list of things that he thought would happen.
No, so. I don't think it was on anybody's list of things that they thought would happen. So I, you know, there's little things like that, but overall, I think they play really well together. But I've only done sort of the big marathon once, and it was just episodes one through six, because 7, 8, 9 were still many, many years away at that point. But my, again, family memory, we did like a road trip around the East Coast of Canada. And on the first day, we drove from Toronto to, I can't remember the name of the town, but it's in New Brunswick. When it was a really long drive. It was about 12 or 13 hours.
Wow. And that's a good time to do a marathon.
Yeah, exactly. We had these little portable DVD players in the back seat. And when we hit the highway coming out of Toronto, we started episode one. And we got until the Imperials have captured the rebels on Endor, basically.
Okay.
And Return of the Jedi. So we didn't quite make it all the way, but we got damn close. And then
that's awesome.
Finished off Return of the Jedi the next day, and then we're kind of told maybe it's time to stop watching movies and appreciate, you know, the scenery and the beauty of your country. So
yeah, exactly. Now I'm going to ask, and I think I remember hearing, you know, some concerns and some things that you didn't care for so much in The Last Jedi, on your podcast. So tell me, maybe I'm mistaken, but what was your opinion of The Last Jedi, and how has that changed over the last 8 months?
So on opening night, I didn't like it.
Okay.
I came out of the theater disappointed. And there's an episode of the Star Wars Underworld that we recorded that night. It's a very interesting episode.
That's the one I was thinking of,
yeah. Yeah, it's a very interesting episode. Some people were not happy with us with the way we reacted. But, you know,
had an emotion? Well, you're not allowed to have emotion.
Well, to me, it's like the only thing that we can be on these podcasts is honest about our opinion. Otherwise, what are we really doing here? And right. You know, they're going to be honest about the good and the bad. And honestly, on opening night, something about the movie didn't work for me. And I don't know if it was expectation, even though I didn't have specific expectations. Like, I wasn't expecting, you know, the big reveal to be Snoke, that Snoke is secretly whoever and Rey is actually a Kenobi or anything like that. I wasn't expecting those things. If anything, I was expecting those things to play out the way they did in the movie. Rey is nobody. Snoke is Snoke. There's no sort of connections like that. But something just didn't work for me. And I kind of look back on it as there were a couple of moments at the beginning of the movie that really sort of didn't work for me and still don't work for me. But I'm able to get through those moments and enjoy the rest of the movie. And now I do like Last Jedi now. I do enjoy it. I when I watch it, I there are moments that really get to me in a good way. Like Luke, when Luke shows up on Crate and everything that sort of follows that is incredible. Yeah. The Rey and Kylo Ren showdown with the Praetorian guards is awesome.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
A huge fan of Rose Tico and that character and what she represents. Love the Poe Dameron Admiral Holdo showdown. I think that's really cool.
Was it the banter at the beginning between Hux and Poe, and that sort of set you off funny in a weird way?
It was that, and it was Luke flipping the lightsaber over his shoulder. And the Luke flipping the lightsaber over his shoulder, like, I love what Ryan did with Luke, and I think what he did with Luke in the movie overall is really, really good. And there's just something about the way that scene is shot and the motion that he makes that just doesn't work for me. And the banter at the beginning. Look, I'm not somebody who doesn't like humor in Star Wars. I love that Star Wars is funny and has its funny moments, but there's something about that scene that really rubs me the wrong way. And people will debate whether it's Star Wars, whether it's quote unquote Star Wars humor. I have come down firmly in the camp that it is not Star Wars humor. Okay. Mostly because I never wanted to hear a Yo Mama joke in Star Wars.
That was a little weird.
That was kind of a bit much for me. And I also think that Star Wars humor, when it's at its best, comes when the characters are have their backs up against the wall, and it's almost like
something snarky or whatever.
Yeah, and they say something snarky, and it's sort of like, you know, we're about to die, but all we can do to sort of, you know, not be depressed all the time is make a quip and come up with a joke. And I feel like Poe Dameron is just a little bit too in control in that scene for it to be funny for me. That's like he just, even though he's, you know, he's in the little tiny ship going up against the Star Destroyer, he's the one who is in total control of that situation, and it just doesn't quite work for me. Whereas, you know, you think about Han Solo, you know, they've just shot up the prison block, and there's the thing is beeping. He's got to answer and stall for a few minutes, and he doesn't know what to do. And he's like, a boring conversation anyway. like he's so under so much pressure that he can't think of anything else to do but shoot the thing. And it's hilarious.
Do you think that they picked that up, that worked well in the Solo movie, Solo A Star Wars Story?
I think they did a pretty good job of it. I think they did a really good job of it there. There's a lot of really good Han moments of like, well, we're about to die, time to make a joke. I really, really enjoy that. And even in Last Jedi, like, in that same moment right before the crank call begins, when BB-8's like, you know, when BB-8 says, I have a bad feeling about this, and Poe tells him, happy beeps, buddy, and Leia's like, I agree with the droid, I think that's kind of more Star Wars-y and Star Wars humor than, you know, I've got an urgent message for General Hugs.
Not quite
the same for me, at least. I know other people like it, and I don't mean to take away anybody's fun. It didn't work for me, and it kind of put me in a bad mood on opening night, and I couldn't appreciate the rest. I mean, maybe bad mood's the wrong term, because I was sort of like so thrown by it that I had to. Took me a while to refocus.
It took you out of the moment, and it was hard to get back in, for sure. Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah. So
absolutely. So now, what if Luke on Octu, what if Luke casts it aside instead of flipping it over his shoulder like it's no big deal, but casts it aside like he did in Return of the Jedi when he threw it down? Would that have been a different feel for you, you think?
I'd like to think it would be. I can't know for sure, but I think that makes more sense to me. I also sort of thought, like, if you kind of maybe wanted to still have it be a little bit of a funny moment, you could have him like throw it back at her, almost you take it, like, I don't want this. And that to me would fit better with that, or that would fit really well with what he tries to teach her later, which is, you know, you don't need some old legend, you need, you know, you need to be the one that goes out there and does it. You don't need me. Even though I fully get like him flipping it over his shoulders, like, it's like really hammering it home that, like, I'm not doing what you want me to do. I get what the moment is saying. It just, I don't know, if he'd thrown it aside like you said, I think that would have been better, or even thrown it right back at her maybe. But yeah, we'll
or
never
even
know.
Handed it to her, like, you know, I don't want this, and just handed it to her as he walked away or something like that. Like, this is part of his past, and he doesn't want it. He doesn't want to have it anymore. Something like that. Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. So now, as a film studies graduate, this should be a fun question to answer. what's your favorite non-Star Wars movie?
My favorite non-Star Wars movie. It's probably Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Oh, that's a great one.
And not just because it has a great Star Wars moment. I'm sort of like remembering, I'm like, oh yeah, there's that moment. But I love that kind of, the kind of like sort of weird, like, carefree celebration of just you know, like a sort of a, just such a weird, it's got like a little bit of a rebellious spirit to it. Obviously it's not a full on rebellion or anything, but I think, you know, Matthew Broderick gives like the performance of his career there. And it's there's so many just sort of great moments that build onto each other that really, it's definitely a personal fave, probably number one outside of Star Wars.
That's awesome. Very cool. Okay, now let's get back to some Star Wars here, because everybody's done talking about Ferris Bueller. Your favorite character in Star Wars?
Who's that? Yeah, I get it. I feel like I'm kind of coughing out if I say Luke, but I really do love the journey that he takes from, you know, whiny farm boy to kind of quasi-hero of the rebellion or full-on hero of the rebellion to Jedi Knight to, you know, old hermit who doesn't want to help to, you know, embracing his status as a legend. I really think that's an interesting journey, and I like that it was able to be carried on past sort of the typical ending point of, hey, he's the hero.
Right.
And just it's the sort of a very universal story for people of just, you know, wanting to go out there and be a part of something bigger and do something else. And I think it's very relatable. And so I really Luke Skywalker is it for me. I think when it comes to the newer films, I've also sort of found a real connection with Jyn Erso in Rogue One.
Oh yeah. Cool.
And that movie, the timing of that movie being released, that was needed a very hopeful Star Wars movie at that time.
For sure.
And that character really resonated with me, and still does when I revisit that one.
I was sitting, all three of us, Sam, Nate, and I were all sitting in the theater, getting ready to watch.
Mm.
I think it was our second viewing of Rogue. We went the first night, opening night, and then we were the second or third day. And that's when I got it. I saw on a news alert that Carrie was in the hospital. Her plane landed, and that was a really surreal moment seeing her at the end of that. You know, the Princess Leia character saying, "You know, it's hope," and that kind of thing. It was interesting. Let's go back to Luke. I want to ask.
Okay.
So, how did you feel about the Luke in Force Awakens, Last Jedi, and the journey that he must have been on, even though we don't really know a ton of the story between Return of the Jedi and then the sequel trilogy? And without having the throwing the lightsaber over the shoulder type thing, but just the Luke Skywalker that has, in some ways, it seems like, at least at that point, he's turned his back on his friends and his family, and he's you know, how did you feel about all that when you saw the Last Jedi?
Yeah, I was really ready for that. I'd kind of expected that to be the direction they went with it. So I was really sort of. I sort of mentally prepared myself for, this is not going to be the Luke Skywalker that you knew, that you thought you knew. And I appreciated it that they took it in a different direction, and that I it would have been too easy, and a lesser filmmaker would have taken sort of the easy route of like, oh, well, he was lost, or his memory was wiped, and now, oh, Rey's got the cure with hidden away in her staff or something, and now he's back and he's the same old same old. And I think it was a much more interesting journey to make him that guy who he'd given up, essentially.
Yeah.
You know, he'd been so young and hopeful, and we'd seen that for three movies how that had manifested itself. And so then it makes you wonder, and it leaves the door open for great storytelling possibilities of like what happened in between.
Yeah.
We know a little bit, we know just enough for it to all make sense. But I really liked seeing him in that, you know, having to go through one last kind of journey like that, from being the old curmudgeon to once again being the hero that we love. And that moment in Last Jedi when he arrives at the crate base and he has his little conversation with Leia, and then starts walking out, and first he kind of winks at 3PO, and he goes out, and all the remaining members of the Resistance are like standing up and staring, and they're watching him walk out, and the John Williams score is just rising and mounting. And that's probably the best musical moment in the sequel trilogy, in my opinion, when he walks out like that. And it's just so you get that feeling of how epic it's going to be. I think that moment is so well done and so earned, because you got a journey like that. And I don't think a moment like that would have been possible if Luke had just been, hey, he's the good guy. He's the same old that you always loved.
Oh, Rey, my long lost daughter. Yeah, okay, I'll come and help now.
Exactly. If it had been that, we'd have had a whole different set of questions about Luke and what he was really like.
But, all right, now you've got to be honest here. Mm-hmm. You can't fudge on this at all.
Okay.
When did you know that the Luke on Crait was a vision? When did you pick up on it?
When Kylo stabs him and it cuts back to.
So were you thrown off about the different beard color and the clothing and the blue lightsaber and all that? Did that throw you off, or were you just so in the moment about the conflict between the two that you hadn't even picked up on that until you watched it again?
I picked up on it, but I had sort of thought, like, you know, everybody jokes, like, what's he going to do? Give himself a haircut while he flies over there? I'm sort of like, yeah, maybe he would. Maybe he would want to, he wouldn't want to show up in his raggedy old pajamas. He would want to put on his nice new pajamas and be a little bit more presentable when he shows up. If he's going to be the hero, they would want, he would want to look it a little bit. So that, I didn't think too much of that. The lightsaber, I do kind of remember going, oh, that's interesting. But then
you were expecting it to be the green lightsaber from Return of the Jedi, right? Yeah.
Exactly. And I sort of went, oh, that's interesting, but I guess they fixed it or something. like you said, I was so caught up in that moment, and I still get really caught up in that showdown between the two of them. And I think it's so cool that they never actually, their blades never actually cross. Luke never attacks Kylo. Oh, it's the embodiment of a Jedi uses the Force for knowledge and defense, never for attack.
Oh yeah.
And even on opening night, even when I was disappointed and feeling down on Star Wars, I picked up on that. I went, whatever else I think about what Ryan did with this movie, I appreciate that he got that, because I think too many Star Wars storytellers miss what that moment is actually saying in Empire.
Let's take it's sort of the Clone Wars Geonosis scene is what is too easy to do. Let's just go to war, you know. Yeah. Let's take our lightsabers out and start killing things.
Exactly. And the thing about the Jedi and the prequels and that moment there on Geonosis is the Jedi and the prequels are wrong. Like, that's part of their story, is that the reason they could be defeated is that they forgot their way. And in that moment, Luke has that moment, and that's why Kylo Ren is able to rise. We see that in the flashback. And then in that final moment of Last Jedi, where he's facing off with Kylo Ren, he remembers what it actually means to be a Jedi, and he lives it for those final minutes of the movie.
And he becomes it's so bizarre. I was watching this a couple weekends ago. I've been watching a lot of Star Wars since Sam and Nate and their mom have been in Alabama, and I've been here by myself. So it's been like Clone Wars for like 12 episodes, and then I'll switch over to a Star Wars movie on the weekend or whatever. Right. And I was watching The Last Jedi, and it was interesting to me how I noticed that all the characters seemed to be resisting what they were like destined to become throughout the whole movie, including Luke. But at the end, he fully embraces this idea of he has to be the legend.
Right.
That's what the rebellion needs. It's awesome. So very cool. All right. So now the next one is we had to just go ahead and eliminate one character because it would be the easy answer for so many people and it would be a really boring question. So if we've taken Jar Jar out of the mix.
Right.
But who is your least favorite Star Wars character?
So my least favorite Star Wars character is actually not Jar Jar. I wouldn't awesome. put Jar Jar in that role. My least favorite character is kind of an obscure one. It's a character from Star Wars Rebels called Asmorgan.
Oh yeah.
And Asmorgan became my mortal enemy over the
he's the guy that's with Hondo a lot, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I love Hondo, so I was really conflicted on a lot of those episodes where I'm like, this is great, but that's not. But I can't quite pin down what it is. I think it's a combination of the voice, the design. I know it's an old Jabba design, and I do think that's cool. But I also recognize that some of those old designs were rejected for a reason, and I think that one was rejected for a reason.
Yeah.
So they brought that back. And then, look, I know Star Wars Rebels is a kid's show. It's targeted at a younger demographic, but I could just never take him seriously as any sort of even like marginal threat, even sort of marginal villain. And again, I'm not against funny villains or anything like that. Like I love, you know, like the Master on Doctor Who is can be very funny, or Moriarty in the BBC Sherlock is very funny. Like I think like there's a real place for that, and we don't see that a lot in Star Wars, and I'd be so down for a funny villain if they wanted to bring one in. If, you know, Ryan wants to use some of his put some of his comedy efforts to work in his new trilogy and have like a villain that, you know, terrifies you, but
I
makes
thought that
you
was
laugh.
Canceled. That's what, oh, never mind. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I mean, don't listen to the internet, David.
No, okay. Yeah. Wait.
Everything's canceled according to the internet.
Everything is canceled and the world has come to an end and we just haven't been told that part yet.
So, yeah. Okay. Yeah, exactly. So yeah. I just, and so whenever those Des Morgan episodes would come on, I was like, oh God, just get me through this one to whatever comes next. I really did like Star Wars Rebels, but I think there were three or four Des Morgan episodes and they were like, no, just no.
Yeah. I gotta be honest with you. When he would show up too, I'd be like an eye roll and a face wipe. And then it would be time for me to go make the popcorn while the
right.
rest,
you
know, all right. So then I think I know the answer to this next one, but a better series, Clone Wars or Rebels?
Clone Wars. Definitely, yeah. Clone Wars. Clone Wars really, yeah, that was my introduction, not to Star Wars, but to Star Wars fandom, was really through Clone Wars and following along with the show as it would air on Cartoon Network and then later on Netflix. Some of my favorite sort of early celebration memories were the Dave Filoni Star Wars The Clone Wars Season 3 and Season 5 previews, preview panels. They were excellent. Oh, they were loads and loads of fun. And I think, you know, that the show's not perfect. It has its episodes that are pretty bad. But when it was good, and I think it was good more often than not, it was really, really good. And it gave us some really cool and iconic characters like Ahsoka, like Rex, even some villains like Pre Vizsla. And it took took established characters and expanded on them in really fun and interesting ways, like Boba Fett, like Darth Maul, and also Anakin Skywalker. I think what Clone Wars did with Anakin was really, really interesting. And it told some great, great stories. And it was something the likes of which we will never see again, I don't think. I mean, I know we're getting another season, and I fully expect that will be up to par with, you know, at least the mid-range episodes. But there was something special about Clone Wars, having all the stories come from George Lucas and then be kind of put through the Filoni filter and fully funded and budgeted correctly and just made into something really, really special. And I love Star Wars Rebels too. I really do. Really did enjoy it. As Morgan episodes aside, but it never quite recaptured that same magic as Clone Wars did. It had episodes that came really close, but never quite.
But those episodes were often the episodes where they were bringing in content and characters from the Clone Wars.
Oh yeah, my
you know, with Ahsoka and Rex and the Mortis things at the end and some of that stuff. So
yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. Like I think the episode, what's it called, Shroud of Darkness, Shroud of Mystery, something like that. That one where Ahsoka goes into the temple and she gets the confirmation that Darth Vader is Anakin Skywalker. I remember watching that episode, and I remember sort of like we were recording our Star Wars Rebels sort of spin-off podcast, which was called Live from Lothal at the time. And I remember we had kind of like fit in just a small little space for recording that episode. And basically I was going to like watch the episode in between classes, and then as soon as the class was over, run home and record it. And I watched that episode like in the cafeteria at school, and it ended, and I'm like, I can't go to class. I gotta watch this again. I gotta prep for this episode properly. And
so you had your own Ferris Bueller's Day Off moment right there, where you watched
Rebels again. Yeah.
Rebels episode again.
It was really
all
fun.
Right. Now with Clone Wars season 7, what are your hopes and your sort of your expectations for that?
Well, my hope is that it sort of recaptures what the old series was, and I think my expectation is just that it will be just like a tiny bit below that, just because, you know, like Clone Wars, I think in the later seasons, they had a rhythm going. They were really like, they knew how to make the episodes at that point. They knew the whole process from start to finish, and they knew what was needed to be done. And now that they've moved on to other things, even though they've sort of evolved that process some more, it'll be interesting for them. I think it was interesting for them to sort of go back, and it'll be interesting to see how well and how quickly they were able to get back into the old ways of doing things. And I think, I fully expect it will be very good. I fully expect it will be sort of, like I said, we should definitely expect it to be good as some of the, you know, mid to higher range episodes. But I also don't want to set myself up for disappointment or anything.
I totally understand.
As soon as it comes back, it's going to be like the best episodes that we ever got. I think it'll be sort of, I'm expecting it to be really good, but maybe not as good as Clone Wars was at its peak back in the day.
You know, I know we're expecting the Siege of Mandalore, and we know that Ahsoka's there and Rex, and we're going to get that storyline there. But I was watching the prequels yesterday, and I noticed between episode 2 and 3, between Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith, the relationship, for me at least, watching it now, the relationship between Anakin and the Chancellor has reached a completely new level when you get to Return of the Sith, Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah.
That I don't think, I mean, I know that there's a relationship in the Clone Wars, but I don't think it's at the level that we see it in Revenge of the Sith, this closeness and the as strong. So I would sort of hope to see in season 7 that kind of thing starting to really take shape, so that it helps bridge that gap. On the other side of that, I noticed that there seems to be a lack of trust between Anakin and Obi-Wan when we get to Revenge of the Sith in a big way. So I'd love to see those two storylines start to play out. What would you think about something like that? Do you think that they could do that?
Oh yeah. I would love to see that. I think that would be really, really cool to continue exploring both of those relationships. And I fully think that if the show had it continued for season 7 and 8 as it was originally planned, we would have seen more of that come to the forefront. But it just kind of, it got left aside, and now it looks at least like we're going to see Siege of Mandalore, and then we'll see Bad Batch and Crystal Crisis on Utapau, which were the ones that were released as story reels on StarWars.com. Right. And so we get a little bit of Anakin Obi-Wan in the Crystal Crisis there. Yeah. So we get to kind of explore that a little bit more, but I don't know where Palpatine fits into that. And,
interesting.
I would hope if they make more episodes that's something they could explore more, because they did some really interesting stuff with Palpatine on that show, and they were planning to do some more really interesting stuff that they never, never quite got to. So hopefully one day.
That's awesome. All right. Now, so Star Wars is by far the greatest film franchise in history, but it's not perfect.
Mm.
So if there was one thing that you could change about Star Wars, what would you change? Other than the flipping the lightsaber. You can't use that one.
I was gonna say the fan base. Can we get some change in there?
That's gosh, can we just be nice to each other? That would be the first start. But anyway,
okay. I'm kind of joking about that. I really honestly the first thing I would change would be I would get rid of the Poe Hux exchange at the beginning of Last Jedi. Yeah. Or I would if I were sort of God of Star Wars, I would instruct whoever was making that movie, no, you need to rewrite that scene. That's not what I personally, as God of Star Wars, want.
That's funny. That's cool. All right, now let's do a non-Star Wars question here.
Okay.
You're stranded on a desert island. You can only take 3 things with you. What do you take?
Oh my God. Well, I mean, I'm tempted to be just like really literal and be like, okay, I would take seeds. I would take a water filtration system and a chair. But more in the spirit of the question, I would definitely want to bring like a way to watch at least one Star Wars movie. I would want to bring at least one Harry Potter book.
Okay.
And then the third thing, like, I don't know. Can I say like unlimited chocolate cake or something?
There you go. That's good. I'll take that. Chocolate cake is always part of the, you can insert that in there. So, okay. So now we'll go back to Harry Potter for just a second. We talked on your, before we recorded with you on the Underworld, you mentioned Harry Potter was sort of your big thing. I think you actually mentioned it on the episode, before Star Wars, it was Harry Potter.
Yeah.
For you, which was better, books or movies?
Books. Books, okay, definitely the books. Not that the movies are bad. I really enjoy the movies. I just watched one of them recently. I think it was just kind of, it's one of those things whichever you're introduced to first, I think you kind of get caught on that. And I was brought in with the books, and I really remember anticipating the book releases far more than the movie releases. Like, you know, I went and got the last two books at midnight at the bookstore. Like, I had to get them right away. And whereas with the movies, I guess I saw Order of the Phoenix on opening day, and that was the only one. And that was more because I was like, just that was like 2 weeks before Deathly Hallows came out, the book, and I was like, I was just like so in the zone of like, I need all the Harry Potter stuff I can get just right now. So let's going right now, going go see it opening day. But the rest of them, I kind of would wait. Now I probably wouldn't have waited. Like if they came out now, I would just go like opening day or opening week or whatever. But at the time, it wasn't like a priority the way the books were when the books came out.
Awesome. Now the theme of hope, you know, is front and center in the entire Star Wars saga in every way, shape, and form. So for you, how does Star Wars inspire hope?
I think that the best way to kind of think about it is with the broom boy scene in Last Jedi.
Awesome.
Is that, you know, that's like the kid in that scene, broom boy, he, you know, he had his little moment with Finn and Rose, but we also see him hearing the story of Luke Skywalker.
Right.
And you know, it's sort of like for all of us, you know, we hear these stories of these great heroes and what they do to inspire hope, and I we should be inspired to try and do good things and do better things ourselves, and not just for ourselves, but for our society as a whole. And that's something that has really spoke to me in the last couple of years with these movies, starting with Rogue One and continuing, especially in Last Jedi, with like that Rebel Alliance logo. I always thought it was cool, but with Rogue One and Last Jedi, it's become really sort of special to me. Like that ring that Rose gives the kid,
right.
And just I love that moment at the end of Last Jedi. And again, that was another one of those things. Like even on opening night, when I wasn't feeling so great about the movie, I knew I liked that scene a lot.
And that was one of the scenes that a lot of people sort of felt like was unnecessary, you know, that were critical of the movie.
So. Yeah. And I'm like, I sort of see where people are coming from. Like, we've never had a scene like that before in Star Wars, where it is kind of like an epilogue or a post-credit scene. And it is at the end of the middle chapter of the trilogy, which is a little bit weird from a structure point when you look at the trilogy as a whole.
Sure.
But I just think like it's important to put it in that movie, because it proves that the good guys won. And even though it may not seem like they won in that moment, they're going to win in the long run, because they're out there inspiring the youth, the next generation, to follow in their footsteps and do great things as well. And that moment where Broom Boy just calls the broom to his hand with the Force, and it's just such a subtle thing. And then he looks up at the stars, and it's like Luke looking out at the twin suns. He's got the hope ring, and he's thinking about wielding a lightsaber. And you know, we've all been there. I think whether you came into Star Wars as a kid, or even if you came into it as an adult, you've had that moment where you've held a broom, or held a mop, or held just like a branch, and you've just sort of thought, man, this kind of feels like a lightsaber right now. and you just have that moment, and you just kind of wish you could be a Jedi, and in that you feel that inspiration. And you know, so everybody can kind of relate to just that feeling, but just sort of the feeling of, okay, the heroes are out there fighting the good fight, and I should try to do that as well, whether that's in sort of a big picture way, or whether that's just making sure those around me are know that they're loved and taken care of, and that they have a friend in me, essentially. So I didn't mean to quote Toy Story there, but
I was gonna say, I was just gonna go there. You beat me to it.
Accidental Toy Storyism. But it's such a powerful moment, and the theme of hope is not one I've thought about a ton prior to Rogue One really kind of throwing it in your face. But again, the timing of that movie, and just the way it presents hope in your face really made me rethink the whole saga. And yeah, hope it's just such an important theme in those movies, and Broom Boy embodies it. And I love that scene so much.
That's awesome. Now, another theme that I feel is front and center in the entire saga, but maybe isn't talked about as much as hope, is this idea of choice. Mm. You know, we see Luke, even in the very first movie in A New Hope, being faced with the choice to stay on Tatooine or go with Ben. Mm-hmm. At that point, even so much so that the prologue to The Last Jedi novelization, yeah, sort of gives us an example of what his life would have been like had he stayed. And so I know that's a big choice there. Obviously, his choice at the end of Return of the Jedi, when he's in a position to kill Darth Vader and he turns off the lightsaber and he throws it down and says, "I'm a Jedi like my father before me." You have Anakin, obviously, in Revenge of the Sith, in his choice there with Mace and Palpatine. You have Jyn mm-hmm. in her choice to either, you know, to be involved or to not be involved. And then, of course, we have Rey in the throne room there, you know, whether or not she's going to choose to accept Kylo Ren's invitation. So I think that choice is a big part of Star Wars, and I love getting answers to this question. I've asked this question for 20 years to people, and it's fun to hear their answers, because you get to know sort of their story a lot with it. Name a time in your life when you had a very clear choice that altered your future. What did you choose and why?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. It's one moment where I think for me, it's funny. We kind of already talked about it, is when I kind of made the decision to reach out to Chris and Ben at Star Wars Underworld and get involved with that. It maybe wasn't the clearest choice necessarily, or the most dramatic choice, but it certainly was life altering. You know, I think everybody does this occasionally, and where you kind of think about the road not taken with certain things. And there are certainly moments in my life where I can kind of think about the road not taken, but that's one where I sort of like, I think if I hadn't done that, if I hadn't reached out, what the hell would have happened? What would I have done? Like, I can't answer the question at all, because it was such a, you know, it's become such a huge part of my life. Not just the writing articles and recording podcasts and going to conventions and that sort of thing, but not to be corny, but the friends we made along the way.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, from everybody, like people people like Chris and Ben, who do the podcast with every week, to obviously yourself and Sam and Nate, but tons of other really cool people in Star Wars that I've, you know, almost certainly never would have met otherwise. And it's just you know, that was I don't know, maybe that was my Obi-Wan saying, "You got to come with me to Alderaan," yeah, moment. But it certainly led to me taking some steps into a much larger, much crazier world.
That's awesome. Very cool. Man, Dominic, it has been awesome getting to know you a little bit better and hearing your Star Wars stories and all that, and having you on this podcast. We really do appreciate it. It's been a blast.
It's been so much fun. This is I feel like we got deep a couple of times on the show, and I love it. I love it. I love that Star Wars podcasting and Star Wars in general can take us there sometimes.
Well, the reason the Star Wars stories are so intriguing and engaging for people is because they do mirror to some extent our own lives, and they help us to it's the mythology of our era in a lot of ways. It helps us understand who we are as people, and it's awesome that way. So you would expect to get into some deeper stories when you talk about
for sure. Those are the best episodes, I think, to record and to listen to.
Awesome. All right, well, next week's episode coming out let's see, I think that's going to be the 3rd or 4th of September. We're going to have Steele Saunders on here, so that'll be a blast too. Appreciate you being on, Dominic. Thank you so much.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah.